Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why do you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinefo.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Coming to you live from the Ray Horseman Studio in North Hollywood, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, a ping pong star once said, quote, "Table tennis is like an atom. To the ignorant, it is merely microscopic and insignificant in existence. But to the dedicated, it is intricate in design and the building block to everything we know." On today's show, table tennis superstar Kim Gilbert reveals the mysteries of the sport of philosophers. So there's that. And then there's mold. Is your mold killing you? Are you allergic to mold? A certain podcast host seems to be. Dr. Mark Meth tells us if allergic reactions to mold can cause sneezing, sinus congestion, and memory problems, and problems with speech. Paula, in case you've forgotten, I'm Adam Felber. I always serve this show's questions to the correct quadrant. And now, please welcome the woman who spins the conversational ball all over the court, Paula Poundstone.
Thank you so much.
Welcome, Paula.
Thank you. Oh. You know, my manager slash producer, Bonnie Burns,
yes.
Captain Crinkle, earlier said that when she's listening to the podcast, if I'm not right on top of the microphone, that my voice goes in and out. And so I am goddamn eating this microphone.
Yeah, you are locked in. I'm going to try to eat this microphone too.
I am not turning my head no matter what happens. I don't care what happens behind me right now because I am right on top of this microphone.
I want a head vice so that I can don't have, if I turn my head, it hurts.
I can't really look at you right now.
I know. I'm over here. It hurts that because you have limited range eye motion too.
Yeah, exactly.
This could be a tough one, people. So you might want to switch to another podcast. Also, welcome to tonight's house band guitarist Haley Johnson.
So nice.
On the guitar and the whistles.
She was the whistler, too. That was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was doing them both at the same time.
Yeah. And what's weird is she uses her fingers to whistle, and yet she was still able to play the guitar.
That is unusual in the world of music.
It's very, very unusual.
Yeah.
Was beautiful.
Now, Paula, we had an Uber driver on our show a while back, and we found out that if you vomit in an Uber, you get charged a lot of money. Now, I already knew this because I've noticed that cabs in certain cities now have a vomit fee listed right there on the cab.
Really?
Yeah, in Chicago, I think, or is it Boston? I was in a city recently, and I saw a $50 vomit fee listed.
I have never seen the vomit fee. It's never been spoken of in a car that I've been in. But I did see on goofy, silly Twitter the other day. Actually, it was
a link to an article.
Yeah, one of our listeners, a nobody,
I know you're usually the person who distracts us from the topic, but Tony Anita Hull has taken to calling Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone fans nobodies on social media.
Yeah, it's a great name.
And they seem to love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah,
so I love you, nobodies.
I want to thank all the nobodies, which would make a great Academy Awards speech.
Yes. and an immersively short one.
Yeah, you'd be on and off so absolutely. Quickly.
So the nobodies.
So one of the nobodies tweeted me and asked if we could update our Uber information because they found this article, and I believe it was the Miami Herald, about a new thing of vomit fraud.
Vomit fraud is an Uber thing. Uber vomit fraud.
So Uber drivers, so you take your ride, everything, you know, you get to where you're going, you get out of the car, no harm, no foul, nothing bad happened. And now on your bill, you get this like $80 fee, and the Uber driver has charged you saying that you vomited, and they have stock vomit photos that they'll say, oh yeah, that person vomited, and they
say it can't be stock, it has to be a photo of the back of somebody's car. It's like
but
car.
they have prepared they have a fraudulent it's not your vomit.
Somebody else's vomit that you're paying for.
Yeah, somebody else's vomit. It may not even be vomit. It may be some sort of, you know, paper mache mixture. And also it's other body fluids.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Apparently, quote, a significant quantity of body fluids is what triggers the Uber vomit charge.
Yeah.
Which can be up to $80 added to your credit card automatically.
I thought you were going to say how much. You see, had a significant amount. You were going to say, like, how much?
I don't know.
Like,
what,
you could pee like half a cup, and it's not a problem.
But I don't think half a cup of pee would put anybody off.
Tip the scale at one cup, and you're going to pay for
it. You'll be
paying. I mean, where does it stop? If they have fake vomit photos, they could have fake, you know, yogurt.
Right.
Right? Like, see, you now, spilled a yogurt in my car. Everyone would know wasn't me because I hate yogurt.
Yeah. So that's the way that you'd beat this one in court.
Oh, my gosh. But you know what? If there was nougat on their seat, that I would be nailed. They'd go, yeah, that was you. You had nougat.
I'm not even sure that's true because you, as we've discovered on the show, don't, in point of fact, know what nougat is.
Yeah, it's inside my candy bars. There's nougat, and I enjoy a Butterfinger.
But
there's a
see, that's peanut, the way that I keep
coming
back
to. There's a peanut buttery nougat.
That stuff inside Butterfingers is absolutely not nougat.
All right, so if I get a nougat charge from my Uber driver,
will
you go to small claims court with me?
I will represent you in small claims court and say, Your Honor, my client enjoys a Butterfinger.
As you know, Your Honor, there's no nougat in a Butterfinger.
and the judge would say, yes, that's exactly right.
No, she'd go, there is. It's crispity crunchity, but it is a nougat.
It's even the people at Butterfinger are quite clear that it is not nougat.
That's not true. Who did you talk to at Butterfinger?
You can read the descriptions.
And how sad and lonely is your life? Did you go on what? The Butterfinger Facebook page? You know, I remember one time
You say completely ridiculous things, and when I contradict them, that makes my life sad and lonely.
Well,
I'm just trying to keep some measure of facts around here.
One time I was eating like some toast or something, and I was waiting for it to toast in the toaster, and I don't just stare at the toast the whole time. So I was reading the jelly jar, and it was like a Welch's grape jelly or something, and it said,
I want to say this story sounds 100% not sad nor lonely.
No, and it said follow us on Facebook or whatever, and I thought who, why, what, visit us, that was it. No, visit us at our website, that's what it was.
Right.
Like somebody really goes to the Welch's grape jelly website, and what do they write back and forth?
In the land of pod, one of our nobodies has a single tear trickling down her face as she looks at her link to the Twitter page of great.
It's on the top of her gray bar so she can go to it quickly. And now, if she hasn't looked at it in a couple of days, she gets kind of sweaty palms and edgy. How you do when you don't go on Twitter for a while?
I got to see what's happening in the land of jelly.
Yeah.
Okay. I was wrong. I want to correct myself.
No!
$80 for any bodily fluid.
$80 for any bodily fluid.
When you get to significant quantities, urine, blood, or vomit, the charge rises to $150.
Then it's $150.
It's just starting to have some real change there.
You know, I wonder if there are people who ride around in Ubers and competitively vomit. And they brag about the price they get charged.
Yeah,
you know,
man, I was good for $300. Yeah. They thought it was two guys.
Yeah, I was so fucked up last night. I got a $300 Uber charge.
I hit a triple in Uber.
Yeah, that's a big thing for people with no class, not like us.
I want to say that I suspect that this Uber vomit fraud thing is not a thing. I don't want to question
it was
the Miami,
in the Miami Herald.
I don't want to question Miami. And Miami, as you've pointed out, is a city where that stuff is, where vomiting happens in cabs.
Yeah. 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 Okay. So why do you think it's not a thing?
I think it can't be a very widespread thing, because if you're one of those minority of Uber drivers that has decided that you're going to perpetrate the vomit fraud,
yeah,
I don't think you can ring that bell very often without somebody catching on to the fact that this person is, you know, jacking it up every, you know, three times a week, whereas most drivers do it once a month.
Okay, but they're already an Uber driver, so they're not taking in millions.
Right.
So the extra $80, maybe once a month, could be worth it to them.
Huh.
And I think that there is enough vomit in Miami.
Right. That's to provide cover for the fraudsters?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I have to tell you,
it's entirely possible.
I was in a cab years ago, I think I probably was a little bit drunk in retrospect, but which I wish hadn't been the case. But I recall that I was talking to a friend. We were two people. We were in the cab together. I wasn't just talking to myself. But I was cursing fluently, and the cab driver asked me to get out. I wasn't cursing at him.
Right.
The cab driver just took offense to the fact that I was cursing.
Were you just sitting in the back cursing at nothing?
No. I was talking to someone, and I was...
On a
there
phone?
Was something, no, I was talking to a... I just finished explaining.
Okay, I'm sorry.
For fuck's sakes.
I'm sorry. I was looking at my
I'm going to get out of this podcast right now.
Well, with your language, I might kick you out.
Don't make me pull over.
Okay, so you're...
I was talking to a friend.
Right.
Something had upset me. I was retelling the story.
Right.
And as I was telling it, I was cursing. And I think it was either in New York or Washington, D.C. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, really? So I'm saying more offensive things than have ever been said in a cab in New York City or Washington, D.C. before? I think not. And by the way, that is Shakespeare.
I think not.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, fine. really apt Shakespearean quote there, Poundstone.
Yeah.
I would, if I were you, I would have chosen to be proud.
Then
somehow I managed to
cab.
Offend a New York City cabbie to the point where it was too much for him.
Yeah, I don't think I felt proud.
But you should.
I don't recall.
You should have. In other transportation news, we have the results of a survey. I wanted to bring this out.
Oh, thank goodness.
Now, believe it or not, a few weeks ago, you and I had a disagreement.
You and me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was right.
Yeah, that's how you usually win these things. But the disagreement was you mentioned that there are hot towels given to people in coach on airplanes.
Well, there were. There used to be.
Well, that wasn't what we were arguing about. We were arguing about are there was kind of what we were talking about.
I don't believe that tense was ever brought into it, but go ahead.
All right, fine. We will agree to disagree. If there was only some sort of record of that we could listen to. We asked our listeners on Facebook, said, who has been on a coach flight and received a hot towel? Nearly 700 listeners replied to this poll. 72% said, no way, doesn't happen. Only 28% said, me, I swear it's a thing.
Well, you know, this is statistically very rare that happens, but that 28% is correct.
Wow, that's not only rare statistically. I mean, the probability of that being the case is almost astronomically small.
Do you recall the probability of Trump becoming president?
It was greater than 28%.
I rest my case. He's president.
But I said it was greater than 28%.
Yeah, it was. No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
What was it? What were the percentages of him maybe winning?
Oh, well that's a different thing because... That was the likelihood in several simulations run over and over again. And so depending on how you ranked it, it was somewhere between, you're right, 15% and I think 30%.
Well, I think that's close enough.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And
I'm
so my point is, even though it was 28%, it doesn't mean that I'm wrong. This was a long time ago.
I don't think we disagree anymore because now you've added in this little asterisk that says it was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
Right.
It might have been pre-9/11.
You know what? I think it was long enough ago that you had to get out and start cranking the propeller to start the plane.
No, it was not that long ago.
And so they would give you this hot towel to get the grease off your hands.
No. After terrorism, they stopped giving you a hot towel.
Well, no argument that they used 9/11. The airline industry used 9/11 to do so much shitty stuff to us.
Right, to stop giving you blankets.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want...
Because you don't want to be a terrorist in a blanket. What if you fashion a crude turban out of that blanket?
They just didn't want to feel the sting of realizing after the plane was brought down by a terrorist that they had given them a hot towel. That just...
right.
Then you just feel like, oh, damn it, and I gave him a hot towel.
This is your last thoughts.
And
I shouldn't have given him
that
towel.
And that is a little sexist because I said I gave him a hot towel. It could have been her.
I think you're on pretty safe ground with the vast majority of airborne terrorists being men.
Well, let's let girls feel that they can...
be anything they want to be?
Yes.
All right, that particular ecumenical message from Paula Poundstone isn't going to put us on the map anywhere else. There was an article in the International Journal of Aviation Psychology that pointed out that after 9/11, air carriers instituted new safety and security duties for flight attendants, cut back on the size of cabin crews, so that flight attendants has been a conflict since between passenger service and carrying out safety duties.
There! Yeah. See? I didn't even see that.
I knew that.
I knew that from my flying experience.
Yes. Which oddly involved hot towels that nobody else sees.
No,
do you
I'm
see
telling
one now?
You. The reason I remember is because I used to tell my kids not to get the hot towel.
Again, I think you're confusing that with your experience in sushi restaurants.
No.
Okay.
No.
We're going to take a moment to distribute hot towels to our guests on the show. Table tennis legend Kim Gilbert is receiving her hot towel in preparation for giving us tips on how to play ping pong like a champion, which she am. And board certified allergist Dr. Mark Meth. Here's your towel, too. It is, to my knowledge, mold-free. Although, is anything really mold-free? Much more to come after this. Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because when Helix first
sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium Elite Collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix Sleep Quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux. And I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're gonna get it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while, we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now, I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that too. Like so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
They are so European. And you can get those kinds. You can get washable silk tops. You can get 14 karat gold jewelry and like all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and a 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code. The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events, such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric.
Urgh.
They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paula, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven Science.
And
if there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, we're back. Paula, you love ping pong.
I love ping pong.
It's one something I've known about you since about the day we met.
Yeah.
And you periodically, like twice a year, for ever since I've known you, throw ping pong parties at your house.
Beautiful ping pong parties in my backyard. We pulled doubles teams out of a hat. We have an electronic scoreboard.
You do.
We have the right ping pong music. It is so much fun. People who have never even met before, when they're partnered up after they get a point, they hug.
It's great. I love those parties. I've had some amazing experiences, encounters with interesting people I've enjoyed on stage and screen, because you get all manner of folk there.
We get all manner of folk. And I'll tell you, we have this great ping pong guest, and I'm sure... Why don't you just go ahead and introduce her, and I'll tell them.
Because some questions about table tennis keep coming up when we are at your parties. And we have somebody here to answer them. Kim Gilbert is a professional tennis table champion, a three-time U.S. Olympic Festival gold medalist, and the holder of the fastest reaction time recorded live on ESPN by any man or woman in any sport.
And yet, I haven't been invited to one of Paula's parties.
And you haven't been introduced yet.
That is not right.
Hang on a minute. She's also the CEO of Pong Stars here in Los Angeles. Please welcome Kim Gilbert.
Nice.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Talk, Kim. Welcome.
You will definitely get
invited to those parties.
Thank you.
All right. First of all, I never say table tennis because what I play is ping pong.
It's always been ping pong. It's just the only difference is... Table tennis is an Olympic sport. Ping pong is what people play with a drink in their hands.
Right, exactly.
Well, but that is the only difference between the sports.
And that's what I play. I mean, I'm a backyard player. I used to be fairly good as a backyard player.
But now you're a professional backyard player.
I'm not very good at all. But I have so many
good
questions.
You're service killer.
Well, you know, we were talking just the other day, Adam and I, about my serve. And he told me something I had never heard before, that at my parties, there is a rumor that goes around from the uneducated that my serve is illegal.
Now,
and I said, no,
I
in fact,
be clear. It's not
everyone
people
else's,
say that to you
people,
sometimes.
They never said it to me. Everyone else's serve is illegal. Mine is legal. I don't ask them to do a legal serve because the way a lot of people serve when they, you know, when they grew up playing in their basement kind of thing like me, they hold the ball with one hand and hit it out of their hand with the paddle from the other hand.
Absolutely illegal.
Absolutely illegal. Yeah. So I toss the ball, which is what you're supposed to. Tell me, can you articulate the legal serve?
The legal serve is you have to start with an open palm.
Open palm.
The ball has to be in the cup of your hand, not on the finger. Because you could put some more spin on the ball.
I totally do it illegally.
Your hand has to be behind the table, behind the white line. It also has to, the ball has to be thrown up 6 inches. And
6 inches?
6 whole inches.
No way do you throw it up 6 inches.
No, I throw it up 6 inches.
No way.
In an Uber cab.
Yeah.
Yes. The only time she's ever thrown up 6 inches.
The other thing is you cannot contact the ball over that white line. So even though your hand was behind the white line throwing the ball up, the ball can't cross that line so you hit it over the white line.
Oh.
It has to be everything behind the white line.
I'm not positive about that.
We all get called for our serves, even in competition. World-class players will get called, and then you just regroup and do it again.
Yeah.
So what are other common mistakes that like your rec room with a beer player makes in terms of like violating the very rules of the sport?
Who makes the mistakes? An average Joe?
Average Joe mistakes that when you see it, you're like, amateur.
I think the biggest mistake they make is thinking that they can beat everybody. That's it right there. Because I've seen average Joes being taken on by 5-year-old girls from China, and they make these guys look like they've never picked up a paddle in their life. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. There's just a huge difference between somebody who's good at ping pong and somebody who thinks they're good at ping pong.
Well,
right?
You know, it's so funny because I've done so many events where I'll be at a stadium show or even at a private party, and some wife or some girlfriend or whatever will come up to me and beg me to annihilate their spouse or their fiance or whatever. They will slip me $100 bills to make sure they get first in line, but it's because of the smack talk. It's because of all the trash talk. Oh,
that's the joy of the game is the trash talk.
The wives can't take it.
I would think breaking up with the guy in question rather than having him beat to a pulp.
Well, I was hired to do this birthday party. It was his birthday party, and it was by a very well-known producer at a television network. I won't say who, but it was in Brentwood, and it was his birthday party, and she paid for me to be there.
So that you could beat him and humiliate him?
Crush him and annihilate him, and that was my job.
And again, and to be clear.
With a beer in my hand.
To be clear,
I had to look like I was a party goer.
Oh, that's
awesome.
So he wasn't to know that she brought in a ringer.
He had no clue. And he came out, I mean, it was a huge place. He came out with a Rocky theme. There was lights, there was music, there was cameras everywhere.
Oh, okay.
Dun, 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 dun. And he had his cape. I mean, it was right out of the 80s.
Wow. So just right.
It was
beat
a show.
Like a drum.
It was a show.
In that case, he deserved it.
He deserved it. Yeah. Oh, and when his greeting to me when he shook, we were supposed to be challenging him.
Right. Uh-huh.
He went to shake my hand and then did one of these.
He extended his hand and then pulled it back like
I'm not sure that guy deserved it.
And then he lost his inhaler later, so I was sure to give it back to him.
He lost his inhaler?
Yeah, he was looking everywhere for his inhaler after we were done. I guess he was having an asthma attack.
So you drove him to an asthma attack.
Also looking for his testicles.
here it is.
That's a ping pong ball. I know what that is.
An inhaler can help you find your testicles.
We're going to ask Dr. Meth about that in just a few minutes. Yeah, it's like a duck call?
Yeah, an inhaler for testicles.
Your testicles hear an inhaler and they come running?
Yeah, that's exactly correct.
That is exactly incorrect. Yeah, it doesn't even make sense.
I read it in Outdoor Magazine, Adam.
I have.
All right, I have so many questions. Let's middle with this. I have purchased a variety of ping pong paddles that I keep in like a milk crate so everybody can choose their weapon. And some of them have what's called the pips.
Right.
The nubs.
The little pokey
pips
outy
out.
Things.
Pips out.
They're nubbed for her pleasure.
Yeah. And what happens with the pips out different from what happens with the pips in?
So
Kim is taking the cellophane off of a beautiful butterfly paddle.
This is my personal paddle.
Wow.
And I use inverted rubber. It's one of the fastest paddles in the world. It's actually discontinued. This is a 7-ply, 2-carbon paddle.
Wow.
It's very, very fast. Now, the pips, you can see, are on the inside of this. So just getting the smooth side here.
It's a smooth paddle.
Yeah. So, but I can impart spin. I can impart, there's high velocity with this.
And what are the pips, now that they're recessed and not touching the ball, what do they actually do?
They screw with the spin. So they basically either disturb the spin, remove the spin, displace it. But it's used, I'm kind of biased, but it's used as a crutch for players that don't have a power game.
So pips out wouldn't be good spinning.
No. Uh-huh. No.
Pips in is good spinning. Why have pips at all if they're not touching the ball on that racket?
More spring. You get
more spring.
Yeah.
It's like a little
box
spring
inside. When they're inverted, that's
why
they call it inverted, because you get more bounce.
All right, now I have an expression, and it goes like this. Live by the slam, die by the slam. Because in backyard ping pong, people tend to not be very accurate with their slam. And so if you try 10 times to slam the ball on your opponent because it feels so damn good, probably 8 of those times it goes off the table to achieve 2 slam points. So how am I supposed to slam successfully, and how am I supposed to respond to a slam?
You're barking up the right tree now, because I am the smash specialist. This is what I do for effective smashing. When I've already got somebody on the defensive, I react when that ball comes off their paddle. I don't wait for it to hit the table and go, oh, it's going over there. No. I'm already using physics, trajectory, everything to plan,
Move back over in front of that mic.
I got excited.
Yeah, that's all right. It's an exciting topic.
This is also great radio sound effects.
Yeah. You know, we played a
April Fool's joke on my sponsor after I came back from the trials, where we put 500, maybe 1,000 ping pong balls in his cabinet doors, his like armoire that he has in his office.
Oh my gosh.
So when he walked in, we were all just waiting to have a little camera set up at his couch. He opened it up and he just starts cussing because all these ping pong balls are coming out. But you know what it sounded like? It's if you get a bunch of them, it sounds either just like rain or serious applause. And I never even knew that. I was like, this is cool.
Yeah,
and
it's a great
lasts
sound.
A long time because they keep bouncing up and down.
It's going
to
turn
out. Now, how do you respond to a slam?
Okay, so you don't want to get slammed on, but if you find yourself in that position, you need to backpedal it.
Okay.
Because you're going to
physically move backwards.
Physically move backwards, and you're going to wait for that ball to drop down so that you can lob it up high, hopefully with some spin on it.
Uh-huh.
So that buys you time to get back into position, and then they have to work harder to watch the ball position, and then but then they have to come down from overhead to get the ball, so it's going to bounce up again.
Okay, so you got to be. It's really a two-part response to slams.
Oh, more than two. Okay, yeah. There's
to
a
get
lot going
back
on.
I can tell
equilibrium.
I'm
going
to need a lot of coaching here.
But what I was going to say is that so how you deal with that is once you're in that position, your defensive position, you make sure that you buy your time so that you can get back into the point. What I do is I just wait for that one right ball that they smash. They think it's over, and I just come in and I counter smash it back when they're not expecting it. But you just got to wait for the right ball
I
and the right timing.
Yeah,
see, that's how you do it.
See, I hit it as high as I can and then throw my paddle at the other player.
Yeah.
Oh, I tried that once. It didn't go well.
It's very effective. It's not.
I got disqualified.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't.
I broke
that.
A table once too.
Wow. All right. Here's a question that's very important for me because. When I have these parties, everyone assumes I know all the rules, and I don't know all the rules. And so I always say, well, whatever you do, just be consistent. Just keep doing it. You know, keep doing it throughout the tournament so that people
you know
don't
what?
Argue.
When it's social, that's what you got to do.
No, but there is an ongoing argument that
this
needs to be resolved.
Yeah, this has been happening forever. Okay, say it's 2020, because in doubles, right, in singles too, every 5 points, you rotate the serve. So
they don't play to 21 anymore. The game's played to 11.
Well, it's horrible.
I know.
We can't do that at a party. It changed for television.
So to keep more viewership up.
This is another reason why television isn't
a good idea. To answer your question, it's the same in singles and doubles. Once you get to deuce, it's 1-1-1-1-1.
Uh-huh. Really?
Now, in doubles, if it's your 1-1-1-1-1 is going to be one player A goes to C, B goes to D. You
right.
always have to alternate.
Okay,
wow.
What if...
Interesting, because in tennis it's twos.
What if... Don't bring tennis into this. What if it's 20...
You almost got her to say table tennis, though.
It's a horrible title. What if you're
like
at... What if it's 20 to 15... Isn't it that the team that is down gets the service?
No.
No, it isn't.
No.
So you continue to rotate the serve the same way.
The same way.
Even though it's point, even though it's...
Unless it's deuce. That's when it goes back and forth.
All right.
And
I didn't know that.
It's the same in doubles and singles, yeah.
This is very important.
So who gets the first serve at deuce? The person who was on the team that didn't have the serve?
It follows in the progression and the rotation that it was. You just follow the same rotation.
Well, I'm just asking, do you switch or not? Like I've had 5 serves in a row. It's deuce.
Oh, yeah, then you switch. Then it switches
so
to the opponent.
So it's the other team gets the first serve
at
the
first
two.
Serve, and then it goes back to you. Back
and whoever
and
wins
back.
By two wins.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
I just want to say,
solved.
If there's any of my friends that happen
does that make me an umpire now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
no, not at Paula's. At Paula's place, you're going to be our...
we have no...
our Ace and Hole.
I have international umpires that work for Pong Stars as well, and they do
what
events.
What is Pong Stars?
Pong Stars is a ping pong themed events company. So basically what you do in your backyard, I produce shows at stadiums or you name it. We've done the run walks. We've done beach stuff with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
We did the P1440
with Carrie Walsh.
Wow.
We did two of her events
at
Avaya Stadium.
Am I allowed to bring up beach volleyball?
If you must. I don't know why you would.
Because Carrie Walsh plays it.
I know Carrie Walsh plays
it. She's got a 3
okay,
Olympic
here's
gold
how
medal.
I relate. Here's how I relate to Carrie Walsh. One time when my partner and I did win a game of doubles, we rolled around on the grass. All right, let's see. How about the stance when you're playing? What if you could articulate what the stance is while you play?
Absolutely. And to be specific, when you say the stance, it's basically a return of service stance.
Okay.
So that's what you're getting ready for. Mm-hmm. Everybody's is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. I bet you're supposed to engage your core. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, more than that. The core goes on the whole game, so that never stops.
Oh,
I know, that's the hard part.
I never engage my core.
But well, your core is often off doing different things.
that's
digesting
my problem.
Nougats.
Not nougat.
All right, so what is the stance supposed to be?
Okay, so you got to be on the balls of your feet, leaning forward, and your arms are out to your sides.
Akimbo?
It's kind of like a crouching tiger, you know, pounce so move.
I was thinking cat burglar.
There you go.
Same thing, but it's a coiled pounce thing. You're open. Your arm could go in any direction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, where you position yourself, that's your ready position. That's your stance, so to say.
Yeah.
But your positioning, now I'm going to give you a hot tip here.
Yes, please.
Yeah, please.
So depending if you're right or left-handed, what side you favor, you're going to be more to one side or more to the other, but it's also your opponent. So where your opponent's serving from, whether they're lefty, whether they're righty. So here's the hot tip. I can tell by somebody's stance their weaknesses, just by their stance.
Oh, nice. Ah.
You get it? Like if somebody's favoring one side or the other, like how they're gonna return my serve, I give them one last look and then I know, they don't want to hit that backhand. And so there's your hot tip.
Let me ask you this about the nature of doubles. So let's say we're having you over to Paula's place for a ping pong party, and we are.
I
for sure,
wait.
You're my partner. And
that'll be the highlight.
I called it.
Yeah.
You were slow on that.
Cheating bastard.
Yeah, there will be a fight, I'm sure.
Oh, of course. Obviously, if any one of us at that party were to play you in singles, we would probably be unable to score a single point. Is that correct?
I determine who wins the points.
Right. Okay. So if you wanted to win 21-0, you could.
You would, to be a good party guest, give Adam a couple of points.
Absolutely. And here's what we do at our events, okay? All women, we give away free paddles to everybody that comes to our event. Every woman wins one. Children win them. Men, they got to work for them.
I don't know why men are such dicks about ping pong, but it really brings out something awful.
They really are.
Not me. Because I don't have a high level of caring or respect for my own skills. But I do enjoy it. But no, I want to finish my question.
Okay.
This might be a two-parter, right?
If you're on a doubles team, it's way different than a singles game. Can you guarantee that you're going to win a doubles game if you have an incompetent partner? Because you have to alternate.
I actually won a national doubles championship with a girl that was from
goldfish.
China. She's from China, and we won the U.S. Olympic Festival National Doubles Championships, and I love doubles, but that's the hard part is that you know, when you're competing, you really want to have it all fall on you, so you're responsible if you win, you're responsible for you lose. When you have a partner, you got to play as a team.
Right,
and
so
you can't,
you
can't
you're
let
get
that
the points
get
on
the
your
way.
Service, and you're going to get the points on your return
you
of service.
You have to play as one.
Okay.
And it's a fine-tuned machine because you're rotating around each other.
When you get it going.
And it's so much fun.
It is
I absolutely love doubles.
Okay. Yeah.
The key to doubles is get the fuck out of the way. That's the key to doubles.
Absolutely.
It's my shot.
Yes. Hit the ball
and
jump back.
I have had partners at your place, and hopefully they're not. Nobody's listening right now. I've had partners at your place that just don't move.
Yeah. I had a partner in Massachusetts once, a lovely girl named Sammy. She was a goddamn mountain. She just didn't move.
Oh, wow.
And I have no peripheral vision, and so I would not realize she hadn't moved and just smash into her.
They'll move after you do that.
And I would bounce off of her. She had a hell of a stance.
Right. Low center of gravity.
She had a fantastic stance.
But she didn't use it to do anything.
All right, now I have to ask you another question, Kim. So you brought this variety of paddles, and I noticed that one of them is very small. I played with a guy that was a ping pong pro, and he had a very small paddle like this one. What would you say the dimensions of that are?
Small.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, for those of you who are listening and not watching our video,
I want to say three and three quarters.
It's less than half the size of an ordinary ping pong paddle.
Okay, so I played with this guy, and it was very, very good. And he took out this teeny paddle It was
Did he take out a big paddle too?
No, he only took out the teeny paddle. Right. And he just thrashed the shit out of me. I mean, I ran all over the place fielding the balls that he hit with his little teeny paddle, which told me in retrospect that the game is in the center of the paddle. Am I wrong or am I right?
Yes and no. It's a two-part answer. So he was playing with this mini paddle.
Yeah.
Obviously, the laws of probability are going to say you better hit towards the center or else you're going to hit your finger.
Right, yeah.
But the area that of your paddle that the ball is going to hit depends on the style of player. So, for instance, I'm an all-out attacker, looper on both sides.
You need a big
I just
paddle.
Go to kill everything in my sight.
Right.
When I'm spinning,
no,
I'm
we love
to scare
that.
You already.
Yeah, no. I'm
so not, when I'm
a little
spinning,
aroused, maybe.
That's your microphone.
That's our, that's
hold right. on, I'll get my inhaler.
No, then I'll have to go looking all over the place for my testicle. Anyway, but to return to Paula's question, what's up with the Professor Small Paddle there that Paula played? Like, why? What's the advantage of using a small paddle?
Oh, it humiliated me.
Exactly.
I think that was
it's really just a tool.
It's when
of
that guy, when that average Joe comes along and says, right. "I beat everybody. It doesn't matter what you play with." Da 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 da.
Oh, so it's really just a tool of humiliation.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to take out a Dorito. And just right. go, I'm just with this Dorito, I'm going to beat you.
Could you beat somebody with a Dorito?
I've beaten kids at the boys' club with a popsicle stick. And then
Then
I made notches on the popsicle stick each time I beat somebody.
Oh, you made notches on the
badass.
Popsicle stick?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, that was
at
badass.
At the boys' club?
That was when I was 17.
Oh.
I mean,
that's what... You're not some like 35-year-old woman.
Yeah, I was just getting started.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. That's different than like showing up and like making a bunch of 7-year-olds cry at a boys' club. Yeah.
Wow.
They don't have to be seven. You know?
No. I get it.
I'm right now. You probably heard my balloon squeaking this whole time because I've been making a balloon animal.
You haven't.
Of a ping pong player. It's phenomenal.
We'll
it's phenomenal.
It looks exactly like the balloon animals you make every week. You've gotten to a place where you tie it into a pretzel-like shape.
Yeah, but this is the head.
No, it's art. It's a balloon that went in three directions at the same time.
That's right. See, she understood it. What's the matter with you?
Not a thing.
Oh, my gosh. Well, this has been so
It really
informative.
Has been. Well, thank you, Kim Gilbert, for spinning our table tennis game to new heights. Paula, what advice can you give our listeners about the world's greatest sport?
Haley Johnson House Band, if you could give me a little ping pong background music. Perfect. This changed my life. The team that is trailing does not get the serve when the lead team hits 20 points. Whereas inverted pips help spin the ball, they can also be treated with a salve. The serve is done behind the white line. The ball must be tossed 6 inches from the cup of the hand. Don't try to spin it with your fingers, you cheating bastard. In doubles, you must play with your partner as if you were one. So pick a rich partner. In the proper stance, you engage your core. And this is important. It needs to be with you at the ping pong table. If you're serving by dropping the ball on the table and hitting it off the bounce, you'd better be bringing really great snacks to the party. You can tell the weaknesses of your opponent from their stance. My opponent, for example, might notice that I am not facing the table because I can't see.
Table tennis champion Kim Gilbert is a 3-time U.S. Olympic Festival gold medalist and CEO of Pong Stars, a ping pong themed events, fundraisers, and professional table tennis exhibitions company in Los Angeles, California. Thank you so much for being on our show, Kim.
Thank you, Kim.
All right. When we come back, do you have mold? And is it killing you?
Yes.
We'll dig into mold allergies with Dr. Mark Meth. That's coming up on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Doctor who?
Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of Mega, a comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he fuck, but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Hallie and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about that, the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?
It's completely improvised and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, you know, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I... Y'all can do it. Y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're Jesus, the best. You the
okay, never mind.
Best I ever had. Best wow. I ever had.
Detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, is it Renee? And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me down there my whole life.
You can listen now to season 2 of Proof, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
The cat of the week is Tiger from Simi Valley, California. All right, we're back. Paula, you know what? Listener reviews mean a whole lot to us here at Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. You say it all the time. And you can post these listener reviews on iTunes.
That's right. It's kind of like Yelp reviews. Think of writing something like this. This show offered great service in a modest setting. The segments were tangy, garnished with a touch of insouciance.
Insouciance, yes.
And Adam Felber was on every show.
Yeah, now, I don't really need people to write Adam Felber is on every show in every review.
Would you rather that we say Adam Felber was insouciant?
Yes. Yes, almost anything other than the somewhat backhanded compliment that I'm on every show. Anyway, the only place I'm not with you, in fact, is when you're on the road. And where are you heading to next, where I ain't?
On March 15th, you won't be in Toledo, Ohio, at the Stranahan Theater. And on March 16th, I'll be in Cincinnati, Ohio, at the Taft Theater. And you won't be there either.
I will not. Now, all of your tour dates are available at paulapoundstone.com. That's where you can also get Paula's books, The Totally Unscientific Study of the Search for Human Happiness, and There's Nothing in This Book That I Meant to Say. Both books are, in fact, improbably enough, longer than the titles. As well as you can also, at that site, get her performance CDs.
Yeah, you can get all that stuff. And of course, you can also get, and maybe this isn't the right time of year to bring this up, but I happen to offer a remarkably soft Tri-Poly-Blend t-shirt on my website with a self-portrait on the left breast and a memorable quote on the back.
And every bit of that is true except for Tri-Poly, which does not exist as a fabric. Putting t-shirts aside, if you want to submit a theme song or have an idea for the show, email us at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. We love to hear from you.
We do. It's a blend. It's a Tri-Poly blend.
It isn't. There's no such thing. Thank you, house band Haley Johnson. That's just beautiful. And Paula, before we get to our next little topic, I'm going to give you an option.
Yes?
During the break that we took, you know, for bathrooms and whatnot, midway through this show, our crack producer, Tony Anita Hall, managed to, with our Ray Horseman, come up with the exact moment from the show where we disagreed about airlines giving you hot towels.
They did?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
And where you say that you didn't claim that it was... Ray, don't play that yet. I'm going to give you the option because you know, I suspect this might not play out really well for you. But would you like to hear what you had to say about airlines and hot towels?
I don't think we ever put it in a time.
Maybe we did or maybe we didn't. We could listen now
I
and
think,
find out.
I think I would like to bet you.
You think you'd like to find out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that what the test is like?
Do
no,
you
the
hand
test is nothing like that.
Do you hand out the hot towels? Oh, because I always hate the hot towels on the air. I always say no to the hot towels because it's...
What hot towels?
On the regular airplanes, they'll give out hot towels sometimes. But what it is...
Where?
Is these little...
Oh, when you're sitting in your first class seats, Paula Poundstone.
No, they do in the back, too.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they
Nobody
do.
Nobody believes no. you.
It's, okay, it's a rolled up washcloth yeah. on a tray.
Oh, I see what...
All right, maybe I mistakenly didn't indicate that it was... A long time ago.
Not only did you not indicate it was a long time ago, you repeatedly referred to it in the present tense.
Yeah, that was not so much that I was wrong as that I had a tense problem.
I'm going to accept that answer.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
I do. I have a tense problem.
You have another problem, too. You have a mold problem.
Mm. I have a huge mold problem.
Yes. We've talked about it before. We've had some people on to talk about. We had a water remediation specialist on the show to talk about.
She teaches water to read.
Yeah. Interesting.
To a dog in a library.
But
it's in my closet. In the closet in the house that I rent, in the bedroom closet.
Right.
It's a walk-in closet, and on the ceiling there is mold where there used to be a roof leak through there before.
Right. And our expert showed up a couple of months ago and let us know that the one thing you don't want to do when you see mold on your ceiling is bleach it. And
Which
what's the first thing?
My landlord came in and said, bleach it. And that's exactly what they did.
And they bleached
it. They bleached the mold.
But now you do have some health problems, allergy problems and whatnot. You're wondering...
Yeah. I have a chronic cough.
You do have a chronic cough. Me and your manager Bonnie Burns, our producer, disagree on the particular viscosity involved in your cough. She thinks of it as a much more phlegmy cough than I do, but we all agree you have a cough.
My cough has a range, goes from dry to Flemish, yeah, depending on where I am.
Positively, you know, Meryl Streep esque range.
Yeah.
So let's find out if your health is...
My cough had a farm in Africa.
Did it? Wow. Let's find out if your health is in serious jeopardy. Dr. Mark Meth, that is his name, of Century City Allergy, is a board-certified allergist and immunologist. He serves on the board of the Los Angeles Society of Allergy, Asthma, and Clinical Immunology.
Must be some fun meetings.
I bet.
They're real hoot.
He's a member of the clinical faculty.
Who brought the feather duster tonight?
He's a member of the clinical faculty at UCLA's Geffen School of Medicine and is on staff at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, where both my kids were born. Please welcome Dr. Mark Meth.
I don't mean to be childish, but I just can't get past the name.
See, what you ran into, Dr. Meth, is
Dr. Meth.
Yes. You don't get this every day all the time, do you?
I do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay. And, I work with my dad, and my dad is also Dr. Meth, but he never had to deal with it because he was before Breaking Bad.
Oh.
And Paula is a devotee of Breaking Bad. She's watched every episode several times now, right?
Many times. I watch it backwards and forwards. Now, you work in that office suite of... Meth, feel good, and blow, don't you?
Yes, I do.
It's a misleading office. I'm sure this has led to a few hilarious anecdotes.
Well, we've had a few people call the office about once or twice a year, meth addicts and seeking help. And so it's sometimes interesting phone calls we get to our office.
You know, there's probably a market out there for somebody who wants to help with rehab, renaming themselves Dr. Meth.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you could sue their pants off. Now, let's turn to the topic at hand because we did not invite you here to talk about your name.
What about ping pong?
Can talk about ping pong. Is a mold allergy hurting Paula's brain?
Wait, Dr. Meth, let me just show you. I don't know if you can identify mold. I'm showing him a picture of the mold that is on my bedroom closet ceiling.
It's gross.
Yeah, it is gross.
It looks gross.
Yeah, there it is. There it is, the mold.
Right.
Now whether it's hurting your brain is another issue. It
is
may.
Because I had a friend who told me that they had a mold problem in their house, and they had to tear that house apart down to the studs, he said. And his wife had, she already had, what's the mosquito thing?
Lyme disease?
Yeah, she had Lyme disease.
That's a tick thing.
And yeah, that, it is a tick
it's
thing.
A tick thing. I get my bugs mixed up. and that sort of like an opportunistic infection, he felt that the mold had sort of found this Lyme disease, and it was causing her brain problems. Does any of this sound...
I mean, I hear stories like that a lot. Whether that's plausible is unlikely.
Yeah, you hear it mostly in Stephen King books.
So there's a
I
lot
mean,
of...
I get a lot of people come in, they read something on the internet, or their friend told them something. Or
yeah.
I get a lot of that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of disinformation out there about mold.
There is a lot of, the internet is a scary place. And mold is sort of a common boogeyman in society for people's various ailments. Not that it can't actually cause real health problems.
My landlord is going to love this episode. I'm not sure she's not paying you.
It's the attorney. Just kidding.
Now let's talk about how this mold in Paula's place might be affecting her.
Sure. So
if it was, what would the symptoms be?
Right. Okay. So mold can aggravate people in both an allergy manner and an irritant manner. So in terms of an allergy manner, people can be allergic to several types of mold, both indoor molds, outdoor molds, and that can
Jello mold.
Right, exactly. And it can affect their upper and lower respiratory tract. So upper respiratory tract, just like somebody might be allergic to cat dander or tree pollen, people can sneeze, have itchy eyes, itchy nose, watery, nose, etc., mm-hmm. post-nasal drip, okay? Mm-hmm. And in terms of the lower respiratory tract, if you're allergic to mold, you can wheeze, have shortness of breath, and if you're truly allergic to the mold, and you can be allergy tested either via a skin test or blood testing to see if you're allergic to mold. Mm-hmm. And then mold can also act as an irritant to certain people. It just sort
They're not allergic to it, but it gets in their lungs or in their or nose.
It smells bad, it's noxious, gives people headaches.
Or it just makes them snippy.
Oh, sure. It just makes them snippy.
So they just come down in the morning and they're like, hand me the butter. Like, they're just not pleasant.
Yeah, no.
That's what I think of as an irritant.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Irritated, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. People just,
But like,
just
actually
are rude to
invading
other people.
People's brain and taking over their body for someone with like a normal immune system.
No, I didn't say taking over their body.
Yeah,
I
but
said
I'm
that
thinking
it.
I'm a sci-fi guy. It's a body
thing. I said that it
thing.
Caused some sort. It was affecting her brain. But so that you don't think is plausible?
I'd have to look into seeing what the exact story was.
Yeah, so toxic molds. Let's talk about those scary molds you read about.
Right.
Like I told a story on this show. My sister-in-law gave me a fridge, and it hadn't been plugged in about a year. And when it was delivered to my house, I opened the freezer, and my nephew's foil-wrapped iguana, which had been interred there, had thawed. Exploded and molded out the entire inside. And I was told that...
Why breeze past that part of the story?
It's just...
Why would your nephew have put an iguana in the freezer in foil? I mean, you act like that's perfectly normal.
That is a
reasonable
question.
Well, it was a sad day when... It was a sad day, and he was a bit younger than he is now when Luigi died. And so they froze Luigi.
Yeah.
And then he went off to college, and they
Luigi?
Moved... Luigi.
Luigi went off to college?
No. Luigi died.
Okay.
You don't send frozen iguanas to college, no matter where you live.
So the iguana died, and they decided, because it was so sad, that they would wrap it in foil and put it in the freezer?
Yes.
And this somehow cheered your nephew?
I suppose it did at the time. The real question there is, when you're cleaning out a refrigerator full of food and a freezer full of food, how is it possible that you neglect... only the giant frozen iguana.
Yeah.
And leave that in there.
Yeah.
I mean, we're really going to talk about this.
Yeah, that is questionable.
We're not really honoring Dr. Meth's presence very much.
No. But I think what Dr. Meth can take away from this
is that he shouldn't come on this show because he's not going to get a word in.
If Adam's sister-in-law ever invites you to dinner, don't go.
Maybe not.
Lesson learned.
My point is, Dr. Meth, the people told me that the black sticky mold that I was cleaning out of that freezer was not just gross, but could kill me.
Unlikely.
Really?
I mean...
Whereas, if the iguana had come back to life, jump back.
I would have, because he was in several pieces at that moment. It would have been awful.
I mean, there are certain types of mold, and very unique types of mold, that if you were to eat sort of their byproducts or the toxins that they produce, yes, you could have, a bad... bad outcome, okay?
Right.
But in terms of like the inhalant type, you know, most of these toxic mold things that people talk about, they don't become aerosolized. It's a lot more hype than reality.
Oh, but I thought there was like a law that you had to, my assistant Wendell says that if you have mold in your house, you have to go on a mold registry.
I don't know about any mold registry.
Your assistant Wendell has been wrong before.
Yeah, well,
he has a batting average similar to slugger Barney Burns over there.
And it's not that I don't advocate, like, if you have mold in your apartment or mold in your house, like, it should be removed. It's not a good thing, but it's not the scary thing that you read about on the internet.
Really?
So really?
There's no mold like that black mold that I showed you that is on the ceiling of my closet. That is not going to, you know, stop me from breathing or cause memory loss?
Unlikely.
Huh.
So the memory loss has to be something else.
Oh, jeez.
I know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So why is this suddenly
I feel like
thing?
I'm giving the wrong answers.
No, right answers.
We dispel bullshit on this show. So why is there suddenly like all this mold panic? Wasn't mold panic when I was a kid.
It's a boogeyman, you know, for when people have unexplained symptoms and they see something and they see something gross, it's understandable that they go to, oh, that's the cause of my symptoms, you know.
Right.
But whether that's really accepted in the medical and scientific literature as being the cause of people's symptoms, it's not really true.
Okay. So we
and again, like there are cases, you know, besides the allergic cases or the irritant cases, there are people that have, you know, abnormal immune systems, people like AIDS patients or, you know, that can get invasive fungal infections. Those things are real. They can go into people's brains. They can go into people's lungs. And there are, you know, definitely certain cases where it's really true, but
right.
But in
usually a healthy person is what you're saying is not going to be attacked by mold while they sleep and transformed into a lizard creature.
That is accurate.
Okay.
I see what you're saying.
Right.
and yet I don't remember you sitting there before.
Yeah. I think Dr. Meth's point would be that's not the mold talking.
Yeah.
With you.
It's something else causing my memory loss.
Right.
Huh.
Interesting. But the cough could be exacerbated by her mold situation.
Absolutely.
Because Paula does have this chronic cough.
Yeah. And that can be post-nasal drip, and that could be, you know, sort of an asthma-y type situation.
Does anybody ever have pre-nasal drip?
Dripping from outside their nose?
I feel like before. I don't know. What do they call post-nasal?
Because it goes down the back of your throat.
Yes.
In the back of your nose. Well, I guess pre-nasal would be like out the front of your nose.
Yeah, people get that.
We call that medical term for that is sort of rhinorrhea, which means runny nose.
Rhinorrhea.
You say rhinorrhea for runny nose?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I know. We got all this.
Why do you need a grosser term than runny nose?
I don't know.
I feel like you got enough gross.
They
got to
teach us something in medical school.
I guess so.
Yeah, that's why you guys go for all those extra years of school.
Yeah.
That's where you get the white coat ceremony.
Yeah,
right. Rhinorrhea. Very impressive.
Right. You say runny nose and they just like, they don't give you your diploma.
Right. I thought rhinorrhea was when, it sounds more.
It sounds like an intestinal problem that a rhinoceros might have.
Right. Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's a rhino's cage needs cleaned more often.
Yes. Scooped out. It's a good thing you collect cats and not rhinos is what I'm going to say about that.
Yeah.
Now, doctor, let's talk about Paula's cough.
Yeah.
Now, she's been coughing a lot.
I've been coughing a lot.
All her life.
This is like going to the pediatrician with my mother when I was little. She's been coughing a lot.
Yeah.
And then the doctor would go, have you been coughing a lot? And my mother would go, she has.
Now you simmer down there, little pounce dog.
She's been coughing a lot and she has a pulse nasal drip.
And she's been to a doctor and apparently it's a pulmonary specialist. It's not that kind of thing. It's just she has a chronic cough that may or may not be allergy related.
Yeah. So
it is allergy related.
It probably is. I mean, it's probably, you're going to hate it, post-nasal. We'll go back to post-nasal drip, but it's probably secondary to your post-nasal drip, which can be allergically triggered, can be irritant triggered.
I'll tell you what has triggered my cough before.
What's that?
The hot towels on the airplanes.
But as we've stipulated,
what they do is they roll up a thin washcloth on a tray, like a bunch of like as if it's a Chinese restaurant or something, little spring rolls, and then they pour this
lemon-scented
hot water
on it,
and smelly stuff on it, and the smelly stuff just kills
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it's an irritant. It's like if you
it's
went
an irritant.
Yeah, like if you went into like a cosmetic counter at a department store,
I
right?
I can't even go to
well,
a cosmetic
there
counter.
You go.
At
so
a department
those, so you're
can
just,
you really not?
No,
so
no. You have, and cleaning
you
products.
Have, so you have a hypersensitive nose.
There, I have a hypersensitive nose.
You have a hypersensitive and nose even, and it's causing post-nasal
well,
drip.
I even have a medical term for that.
Oh, don't boy. Even talk to me about my rhinorrhea.
How about this? Vasomotor rhinitis. How does that sound?
Vasomotor, man. Vasomotor rhinitis.
Vasomotor.
I'm writing it down. Vasomotor rhinitis.
It's like a Roomba.
What's motor for there?
It's vaso. I don't know all this. Where they come up with all these words?
You don't know. Do you tell that to your patients?
Yeah, I don't know.
Leave me alone.
I have to think about it. I don't know. Go back to my books.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so I just want to say about the airplane thing, Paula.
Yeah.
All that means is that when you fly, you should not first take a time machine to get to the airport, and you should be fine because they do not, in fact, distribute those towels anymore.
Yeah, they do.
Okay. No, they don't. We've established they don't. So
one time I
you said you were going to give us those towels tonight, and we never got
oh,
one.
Oh, little hot towels?
Yeah. Yeah, hold on. It irritated Paula's vasomotor rhinitis too much, so she we got rid of them.
I was on an airplane one time, and the lady in the seat beside me, the minute she sat down, and she was in, I was in the window seat, the minute she sat down, she opened the tray table and took out, what do you call it, hand sanitizer, and began slathering the table and the seat and everything with hand sanitizer. Well, I am so allergic to hand sanitizer.
So you really
so
do have vasomotor rhinitis.
Coughing and coughing and coughing, which of course caused her to slather more because she thought she was defending herself against germs.
Your germs, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
yeah. Little did she know you had vasomotor rhinitis.
I didn't. I think if I told her, she would have.
Yeah,
the whole plane would have had to
no,
stop.
Absolutely.
We would have had to. Emergency landing for my vasomotor
rhinitis.
Motor rhinitis?
Yeah.
Is that vasomotor rhinitis? Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited to belong to
I'm glad
some
that we
club.
Have a name for it now. And yeah, it's probably a vasomotor rhinitis or a VMR. Yeah.
Would you say that it's
there?
A phlegmy vasomotor rhinitis
well.
Or a dry vasomotor rhinitis?
He hasn't heard it yet, so he can't tell you.
Oh, no, he's heard it.
I've heard it a little
yeah,
bit.
What do you think of that cough?
It's a little, good. There's some fluid in there.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Bonnie Burns might have.
What is the vaso? What is vaso of vasomotor rhinitis?
He's not. He's
you know,
not a Latin scholar.
Am I a linguist here?
Yeah. No,
he's
like, that's not Latin. This
so
is,
you
this
just
isn't Pope Messer.
I know rhinitis. There I can do inflammation of the nose.
Yeah. That, yeah.
That so I can do. The
Jimmy,
itis.
Jimmy Durante had that. So when you were in med school, I had to go way back. So
yes,
when you were so when you were in medical school, you just wrote shit down and you never said what is. Does that mean?
Yeah, it's pretty much. Yeah, yeah. I just want to pass the test.
Yeah, exactly.
I
yeah.
want that degree. And,
yeah,
because you, know,
yeah,
you
had stuff to do.
Seriously.
Yeah. Do you think, Dr. Meth, that it's possible that with this rush through attitude, that when they were talking about the deadly mold, you just didn't pay attention?
It is possible.
Today we're talking about deadly mold.
Yeah, yeah.
Back glasses. Yeah. Come on, come on.
You
come
know,
on.
I have medical students. It's crazy. I have medical students rotate through my office about
that
once every few weeks. Okay,
right.
And,
yeah. And it.
And do they ever ask you
no,
what
but,
something
no,
means?
No, seriously,
and you
they
just
don't go
let
to
the man talk.
They don't go to lecture anymore.
They don't go to lectures
they watch,
anymore.
They like about 10% of them attend lecture, and they just watch a video of it on you know some whenever they have free time. It's a little bizarre, but
well, you know, have you ever? So have do you,
but I promise
do you
I
watch
went.
Any videos?
Yes, but yeah. I back
you went
have
to class.
You ever
I actually
watched
went to class.
The Muerto Mold video?
I have attended many lectures on mold over the years.
So have you?
I think we're getting
you've attended a lot of lectures on mold?
I've been to a lot of mold lectures, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Could you give us any highlights?
I've been trying to this whole time. That's the purpose you brought me here for. Wow.
Okay. Yeah, yeah,
so
you're right.
Tough
what,
crowd.
What I'm hearing here is that Paula may or may not be allergic to mold, but her vasomotor rhinitis makes it quite possible that the mold in her house is exacerbating her problem.
That is absolutely correct, doctor.
All right.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah.
I did
please
go
call me Dr.
to,
Blow.
your nurse Blow. I did go to a allergist in, I don't know, Santa Monica one time.
Yeah.
And because, you know, everybody kept everybody around me kept saying, have you had that checked down? Have you had that checked down? And I knew it was allergies anyway.
A lot of nasal people you hang
out
with.
Yeah, they do. Have you had that checked down? Have you had that checked down?
Is that Wendell there?
Yeah. I'm Wendell. Have you had that checked down? Yeah, he has rhinitis. So, all right. So I went to this allergist, and she did like she did the scratch test thing, but she did it like when I had it when I was a kid, they did it like one needle at a time.
Right.
But she had like a whole like a ice tray of needles, and just did like one whole just one big. I don't know how you describe it. It was like a...
You're the only person who could possibly describe this.
Yeah.
On your back?
No, on my
arms. On your arms, okay.
Yeah,
just
and...
how many syllables?
It was
sounds like...
It was like a big brush, basically.
Right, okay, sure.
You know,
with
like poison on the ends. Yeah. And but anyways, so she looks and she goes, oh, you're allergic to dust mites, she says. Well, my guess is everyone's allergic to dust mites. And there's no getting away from dust mites.
He already said no. He's saying no.
He says no to that.
No, yeah. Maybe
sure,
like,
mold won't kill you, but you're on the side of dust mites.
I'd say maybe about 25 to 30% of people are dust mite allergic. And if you are dust mite allergic...
Are they...
Wait,
intellectuals?
Are they who?
Intellectuals?
Dust mites?
No, the dust mite allergic.
Let him finish his sentence.
What's going on here?
He is literally trying to tell you what might happen to you as a result of your dust mite allergy.
I'm trying to help you, Paula.
Letting him get there.
How intellectual could a fucking dust mite be?
Not very. That's why I was wondering why you were asking me that question.
Their whole life is just, must get to dust, must get to dust.
No, but some of them ask themselves, what's the point of getting to the dust?
All right.
Okay, let him finish his sentence.
I'm sorry.
If you are dust mite allergic and you do have this cough.
Sorry, Dr. Meth, and you're not going to help me with the meth problem either, are you? I feel it coming.
I have another type of doctor for solve that problem.
Please
deal with
let
that
the
problem.
Man talk.
Okay. No, so people who are dust mite allergic.
Yeah, there's about 25% of people.
Yeah, right, tend to be chronically congested in their nose because they sleep with the little bastards all night.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of post-nasal drip.
Yeah.
And those are a specific subtype of people also that happen to be bothered by irritants like you. See, we...
I'm an
you
irritant?
Called Paula
did
irritant?
I hear that correctly?
No. Oh, wow. You know, I'm just going to be quiet now and mosey on out.
It's not like you were going to get a chance to talk anyway.
We just found our next words for our next fun drive pin.
Yeah.
Paula the irritant.
I'm an irritant.
No, but this is really important information because now we can ask... Given that Paula has already been diagnosed with a dust mite allergy, which she thought was much
which
more
she,
common than
which
it
is. She hid from me at the beginning.
Yes, she did. She did conceal that information at the beginning.
Well, because I thought the mold was more important. She didn't say that these dust mites are going to kill you. No, here's what she did, and I always thought she was a bit of a shyster, quite frankly. I felt it was like a not well-spent money on my part going to this doctor. She brought out a catalog of linens that were for, like, allergies.
For dust mite covers.
Yeah. I guess they were like a tight weave. Yeah. Well, there's two problems
with
that.
Was she selling them herself? Or?
I believe she was getting a kickback of some sort.
Well, no, so she wasn't. The answer is no, she wasn't selling them. You want to translate that.
Thank you.
Yeah. I believe she was getting something from it.
She was not selling them.
But she showed me this catalog, and I'm like, okay, well, first of all, I don't sleep in a bed at home. I sleep on the floor, number one. And so I don't, you know, you can't really, there's no such thing as a fitted sheet for your floor. And number two.
Looking at Dr. Meth's face right now is very funny. He's like clearly
she doesn't sleep on a bed? Okay.
No, I don't sleep on a bed.
Right.
And number two, half my week I travel and I sleep in hotels, in which case I do sleep in the bed. And I said to her, I go, but I sleep in hotels for half my week. And she goes, will you bring these with you?
Well, they also are there. The dust mites are in bedding all over the place.
Right, but she was suggesting that I bring these. No, that I bring these sheets with me. That I order these sheets from the catalog, and she gets her kickback, and I take the sheets with me and change the bedding in the hotel.
Seems like a lot of work.
It does seem like a lot of work, sir.
So let's get to the practical thing, which is what can Paula or people like her do in the face of excessive dust mites?
Can they cause
and
memory
irritants.
Loss?
Yeah. It's a
so, yes.
I know people they're intellectual.
So people buy these dust mite covers, okay, and they do other
and
things.
And they cover
they do.
Each individual dust mite?
No. They...
Yes.
They cover
There's
their...
also a great line of dust mite jackets.
Oh, my God. So you can get dust mite covers for your pillows, your mattress, your box spring. People do sort of other things. But I'll tell you, people can do all those things, and it'll help to some degree because there's millions of dust mites, and there's like one of you. And I always tell people, you know, the medicines are usually better and more efficacious than the dust mite covers.
Whether so there are medicines?
Yes.
Okay.
But how do you...
I love how frustrated you are.
You're
like,
I
could have told you that 15 fucking
minutes
ago.
I didn't know you were dust mite allergic. Yeah. You didn't want, you know...
All right. How do you get a dust mite to take a medicine?
that is the best question I've been asked all day. I don't know. I really
you know
don't
what?
Know.
No, he's
you
talking about medicine for you, Paula.
No, you tip them back.
No, you don't tip
you
them
tip
back.
You tip them back.
Well, they're already tipped back because they're so full of ennui about the pointlessness of it all.
And then you use a like a syringe. And
like
you
just, a pipette, right?
Yeah, I mean, a pipette, it's a bit,
yeah,
exactly.
Sure. I mean, they're very
Boy,
small.
I knew you listened in med
yeah,
school.
Absolutely.
You said pipette.
I love it when you
Give
say
him a diploma
pipette.
Right
I love when you talk dirty, like pipette.
Dirty pipettes.
Rhinitis.
Vasomotorin. Now, let's not edit this one out. Let's listen in as Paula Poundstone chokes her life away. There we go.
Oh, my God.
But see, she has allergic rhinitis with a vasomotor component because she actually is. She has allergies. She is allergic to dust mites. But
and a
she,
huge fucking dust mite just so came in the studio.
Yeah, it did not.
Did you see Miranda Street?
No.
It's covered in mattresses.
It is covered in mattresses.
No
dust
comment.
Mites here are the sound are the size of squirrels. And I want to point out all the coughing you're hearing at home. That's Bonnie Burns for some God knows why reason.
It's contagious.
Sympathetic cough with Paula.
It's highly suggestive. Once one person coughs, I always start to cough.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you were saying.
Yeah, I was saying. So one. Individual person instead of dust mites can take medicine.
Yeah.
Okay. And the most commonly used ones are nasal sprays.
Yeah.
Okay.
I use a nasal spray.
Yeah. So you can use nasal steroids, nasal antihistamines.
Nasal steroids?
Yeah.
Like a Flonase kind of thing?
Yeah. Like a Flonase kind of thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There's nasal antihistamines. There's other nasal sprays that just can dry out your nose so you have less post nasal drip. And then people who are allergic to dust mites often can do immunotherapy.
What is that, immunotherapy?
So, like, allergy shots, okay?
Never.
Somebody can do that. And there's actually a pill now for people that are, that you can desensitize yourself with the pill under your tongue every day.
So you put a pill under your tongue?
Yeah.
And that's a therapy?
Yeah, it can desensitize
you. And then you talk to a dust mite with a pill under your tongue?
Well, why would you do that?
In the past, I haven't really liked you.
It's the therapy.
That's where
she's going.
You're get her.
No, I know, which is really scary. Yeah.
Hi, dust mite. I want you to know how I feel.
Is that you talking to a dust mite with a pill under your tongue?
I got a pill in my tongue right now because I'm doing therapy with you, dust mite.
And now I feel a little more sympathetic to what you go through as an intellectual dust mite.
I just want to say one thing to you, dust mite. Get the fuck out of my pillow.
Oh, but now I'm trying to feel more affectionate towards you. Maybe
now
we
you got me
together.
Coughing.
Now you're fine. Right.
You know, I can tell you what's causing that. You got a
vasomotor rhinitis.
Jesus.
Oh, and as the sun sets in the distance and Paula coughs up stuff onto Miranda Street, I want to say thank you, Dr. Mark Meth, for clearing up these moldy myths. Paula, what advice can you give our listeners about allergic reactions to mold?
Haley Johnson, house band, give me a little mold music.
Yeah.
If you are in a restaurant and your waitress slams your home fries down on the table and says, "Want anything else?" they may be one of the many people who find mold an irritant. Apparently, every mold won't kill you. Vasomotor rhinitis can kick the shit out of a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Only about 25% of people are allergic to dust mites, and they give great parties. They tend to be intelligent, and their podcasts are underrated.
Dr. Mark Meth is a board-certified allergist and immunologist. With his father, Dr. Robert Meth, they run Century City Allergy and have been named to Southern California's rigorously selected list of super doctors multiple times.
They're big on the meth list.
And they're big on the meth list. Dr. Meth, we're sorry we made a meth of things. Thank you for being on the show. We'll be back right after this.
Dead Pilot Society brings you exclusive readings of comedy pilots that were never made, featuring actors like Patton Oswalt.
Okay, so the vampire from the future sleeps in the dude's studio during the day, and they hunt monsters at night. It's Blade meets the Odd Couple.
Adam Scott and Jane Levy.
Come on, Corey. She's too serious, too businessy. She doesn't know the hokey pokey.
Well, she'll learn what it's all about.
Busy Phillips and Dave Koechner.
Baby, this is family.
My Uncle Tell, who showed his wiener to Cinderella at Disneyland, is family. Do you want him staying with us?
He did stay with us for 3 months.
And he was a delight.
A new pilot every month, only on Dead Pilot Society for maximum fun.
Hi, I'm Joe Firestone.
And I'm Manolo Moreno.
And we're the hosts of Dr. Game Show, which is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, regardless of quality or content, with in-studio guests and callers from all over the world.
And you can win a custom magnet.
A custom magnet.
Subscribe now to make sure you get our next episode.
What's an example of a game, Manolo?
Pokemon or medication.
How do you play that?
You have to guess if something's a Pokemon name or medication.
Medication.
First-time listener, if you want to listen to episode highlights and also know how to participate, follow Dr. Game Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
We'd love to hear
from
you.
It's really fun.
For the whole family. We'll be every other Wednesday starting March 13th, and we're coming to Max Fun!
Snorlax.
Pokemon?
Yes.
Nice.
Thank you so much, Haley Johnson. Our show is artist-owned and listener-supported. Help us raise funds by buying one of our Maximum Fun t-shirts. They're only available at maxfunstore.com, and they come in a variety of sizes, including large, extra small, and what? Quote on the back of the shirt. It says, "Never take your kid to an orthodontist who is sending his kid to college or putting on a deck." I believe that's a Paula Poundstone line, right, Paula?
I believe that is some of my wisdom.
A Paula Poundstone quote on the back of a Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone shirt. Now, you buy that at maxfunstore.com, and you can be a real bona fide nobody.
Yeah, that's a proud moment in anybody's life.
Absolutely.
You'll be a tearful recipient of such a shirt.
I love that nobodies are like our Lady Gaga's little monsters.
I didn't know Lady Gaga had little monsters.
She does, doesn't she? They're little monsters. Her followers are little monsters. Our followers are nobodies.
Our followers are terrific nobodies.
We love our nobodies. And you can follow Paula and me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
I have a theory that if each one of our listeners tells 5 friends about Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, we could have 10 more listeners in no time.
Well, that's some good math there.
Yeah. Here's some simple sample dialogue.
Oh, you wrote some more dialogue about what a listener might say.
That the listener might use. Exactly.
Conversationally.
Very conversational.
In order to get people to like our podcast.
Precisely. Okay. So here it goes. Listener's friend, is this the same dog you had before? Listener, yeah. Listener's friend, he's not constantly licking himself and scratching like he used to. Listener, of course, I've been listening to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone while I brush him. I love it. I brush him all the time. Sometimes he brings me my smartphone.
That's great. And I'm going to add the same note I added last week, which is that your sample dialogues are in answer to such specific statements that it seems highly unlikely that we're going to gain that many more listeners, because we're waiting for the moment where somebody says to somebody's friend, "Is that the same dog you had before?"
Yeah, but what happens, Adam, is as
it's kind of a needle in a haystack conversational gambit, is what I'm saying.
No, it's not at all. This is going to be a very common conversation among many of our listeners, because what happens is the positive effects of listening to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone begin to show themselves in your life.
Okay.
For example,
you brush your dog better, he stops licking himself.
You brush your dog more and he stops licking himself. He's not as neurotic. And this will bring about this conversation. Everybody listening right now, if you have a dog, yeah, are likely to have this conversation this week.
I am not sure that is true, but I'm going to continue. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Captain Crinkle Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hull. Technical direction by Ray Horseman and mixing by Anthony Alfaro. Special thanks to tonight's house band, Haley Johnson. And thanks again to our guests, Kim Gilbert and Dr. Mark Meth. Our head of security was Jonah Knuckles Glickman. Welcome back, Jonah, again. Transcription services for this show are provided by TranscribeMe. For your special Paula Poundstone discount, use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at TranscribeMe.com.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
I feel like we solved a lot of problems today.
Yeah, this was really helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, right now, I'm having post-nasal drip.
Really? I think I know why, because there's a bunch of dust mites in the corner just putting the finishing touches on a math test.
Yeah, I can see them over there having a little dust mite meeting.
Yeah, they're very, very intelligent.
Yeah.
You know, they're discussing Proust now.
I'm going to give one of them some medicine. Hold on. Tip it back. Tip it back.
Aw, little guy.
Yeah. Where's my pipette?
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.